Chapter 5. Miss Treason's Big Day. The witches started arriving around 4 o'clock, and Tiffany went out into the clearing to do air traffic control. Anagramma arrived by herself, looking very pale and wearing more occult jewellery than you could imagine. And there was a difficult moment when Mrs. Earwig and Granny Weatherwax arrived at the same time and circled in a ballet of careful politeness as each waited for the other to land. In the end, Tiffany directed them into different corners of the clearing and hurried away. There was no sign of the Wintersmith, and she was sure she'd know if he was near. He'd gone far away, she hoped, arranging a gale or conducting a blizzard. The memory of that voice in her mouth remained awkward and worrying. Like an oyster dealing with a piece of grit, Tiffany coated it with people and hard work. Now the day was just another pale, dry, early winter's day. Apart from the food, nothing else at the funeral had been arranged. Witches arranged themselves. Miss Treason sat in her big chair, greeting old friends and old enemies alike. It says something about witches that an old friend and an old enemy could quite often be the same person. The cottage was far too small for them all, so they spilled out into the garden in gossiping groups, like a flock of old crows, or possibly chickens. Tiffany didn't have much time to talk, because she was kept too busy carrying trays. But something was going on, she could tell. Witches would pause and turn to watch her as she staggered past, and then turn back to their group, and the level of hubbub in the group would rise a bit. Groups would come together and separate again. Tiffany recognised this. The witches were making a decision. Lucy Warbeck sidled up to her while she was bringing out a tray of tea and whispered, as if it were a guilty secret, "Mistress Weatherwax has suggested you, Tiff." "No." "It's true. They're talking about it. Anagram is having a fit." "Are you sure?" "Positive. Best of luck." "But I don't want the..." Tiffany pushed the tray into Lucy's arms. "Look, can you take that around for me, please? They'll just grab as you go past. I've got to get the, put the things in, got things to do." She hurried down the steps to the cellar, which was suspiciously empty of feagles, and leaned against the wall. Granny Weatherwax must be cackling, rules or no rules, but her second thoughts crept up to whisper, "You could do it, though. She may be right. Anagramma annoys people. She talks to them as if they're children. She's interested in magic. Sorry, magic, with a K. But people get on her nerves. She'll make a mess of it, you know she will. She just happens to be tall and wears lots of occult jewellery and looks impressive in a pointy hat." Why would Granny suggest Tiffany? Oh, she was good. She knew she was good. But didn't everyone know she didn't want to spend her life up here? Well, it had to be Anagramma, didn't it? Witches tended to be cautious and traditional, and she was the oldest of the coven. Okay, a lot of the witches didn't like Mrs. Earwig, but Granny Weatherwax didn't exactly have many friends either. She went back upstairs before she could be missed, and tried to be inconspicuous as she sidled through the crowd. She saw Mrs. Earwig and Anagramma as the centre of one group. The girl looked worried, and hurried over when she caught sight of Tiffany. She was red in the face. "Have you heard anything?" she demanded. "What? No," said Tiffany, starting to pile up used plates. "You're trying to take the cottage away from me, aren't you?" Anagramma was nearly crying. "Don't be silly, me. I don't want a cottage at all." "So you say. But some of them are saying you should get it. Miss Level and Miss Pullunder have spoken up for you." "What? I couldn't possibly follow Miss Treason." "Well, of course, that's what Mrs. Earwig is telling everyone," said Anagramma, settling down a bit. "Completely unacceptable, she says."
I took the hiver through the dark door, Tiffany thought, as she viciously scraped food scraps into the garden for the birds. The white horse came out of the hill for me. I got my brother and Roland back from the Queen of the Elves. And I danced with the Wintersmith, who turned me into 10 billion snowflakes. No, I don't want to be in a cottage in these damp woods. I don't want to be a kind of slave to people who can't be bothered to think for themselves. I don't want to wear midnight and make people afraid of me. There is no name for what I want to be. But I was old enough to do all those things, and I was acceptable. But she said, "I don't know what this is about." At which point she felt someone looking at her, and she knew, if she turned around, that it would be Granny Weatherwax. Her third thoughts, the ones that paid attention out of the corner of her ear and the edge of her eye all the time, told her, "Something is going on. All you can do about it is be yourself. Don't look around."
"You're really not interested," said Anagramma uncertainly.
"I've come up here to learn witching," said Tiffany stiffly, "and then I'm going to go home."
"But Are you sure you want the cottage?
Well, of course. Every witch wants a cottage.
But they've had years and years of mistreason, Tiffany pointed out.
Then they'll just have to get used to me, said Anagramma. I expect they'll be pretty glad to see the back of skulls and cobwebs and being frightened. I know she's got the local people really scared of her.
Ah, said Tiffany.
I'll be a new broom, said Anagramma. Frankly, Tiffany, after that old woman, just about anyone would be popular.
Yes, said Tiffany. Tell me, Anagramma, have you ever worked with any other witch?
No, I've always been with Mrs. Earwig. I'm her first pupil, you know, Anagramma added proudly. She's very exclusive.
And she doesn't go around the villages much, does she? Said Tiffany.
No, she concentrates on the higher magic.
Anagramma wasn't particularly observant and was very vain even by the standards of witches, but now she looked a little less confident.
Well, someone has to. We can't all tramp around bandaging cut fingers, you know, she added.
Is there a problem?
Hmm?
Oh, no, I'm sure you'll get on well, said Tiffany.
I know my way around the place, so if you need any help, just ask. Oh, I'm sure I'll get things sorted out to my liking, said Anagramma,
whose boundless self-confidence couldn't stay squashed for long.
I'd better go. By the way, it looks as though the food is running low.
She swept away. The big vats on the trestle table just inside the door were indeed looking a bit empty. Tiffany saw one witch stuff four hard-boiled eggs into her pocket.
"Good afternoon, Miss Tick," she said loudly.
"Ah, Tiffany," said Miss Tick smoothly, turning around without the least sign of embarrassment. "Miss Treason has just been telling us how well you have been doing here."
"Thank you, Miss Tick."
"She says you have a fine eye for hidden detail," Miss Tick went on.
"Like the labels on skulls," Tiffany thought.
"Miss Tick," she said. "Do you know anything about people wanting me to take over the cottage?"
"Oh, that's all been decided," said Miss Tick. "There was some suggestion that it should be you, since you're already here, but really you are still young, and Anagramma has had much more experience. I'm sorry, but—"
"That's not fair, Miss Tick," said Tiffany.
No, Tiffany, that's not the sort of thing a witch says,"
Miss Tick began. "I don't mean not fair to me. I mean unfair to Anagramma. She's going to make a mess of it, isn't she?"
Just for the skin of a moment Miss Tick looked guilty. It really was a very short space of time indeed, but Tiffany spotted it.
"Mrs. Earwig is certain that Anagramma will do a very good job," said Miss Tick.
"Are you?"
"Remember whom you are talking to, please."
"I'm talking to you, Miss Tick.
This is wrong."
Tiffany's eyes blazed. She saw movement out of the corner of her eye. An entire plate of sausages was moving across the white cloth at very high speed.
"And that is stealing," she growled, leaping after it.
She chased after the dish as, skimming a few inches above the ground, it rounded the cottage and disappeared behind the goat shed. She plunged after it. There were several plates lying on the leaves behind the shed. There were potatoes oozing butter, and a dozen ham rolls, and a pile of boiled eggs, and two cooked chickens. Everything except the sausages in the dish, which was now stationary, had a gnawed look. There was absolutely no sign of the Feagles. That was how she could tell they were there. They always hid from her when they knew she was angry. Well, this time she was really angry. Not at the Feagles, much, although the stupid hiding trick got on her nerves, but at Miss Tick and Granny Weatherwax and Anagramma and Miss Treason for dying, and the Wintersmith himself, for a lot of reasons she hadn't had time to sort out yet. She stepped back and went quiet. There was always a feeling of sinking slowly and peacefully, but this time it was like a dive into darkness. When she opened her eyes, it felt as if she were looking through windows into a huge hall. Sound seemed to be coming from a long way away, and there was an itching between her eyes. Feagles appeared, from under leaves, behind twigs, even from under plates. Their voices sounded as though they were underwater.
"Ach, Crivens, she's done some big haggling on us. She'd ne'er done that before."
"Ha! I'm hiding from you," thought Tiffany. "Bit of a change, eh? I wonder if I can move." She took a step sideways. The Feagles didn't seem to see it.
"She's gonna jump out on us any moment. Oh, Whaley!"
"Ha! If I could walk up to Granny Weatherwax like this, she'd have to be so impressed." The itch on Tiffany's nose was getting worse, and there was a feeling that was similar to, but fortunately not yet the same as, the need to visit the privy. It meant
Something is going to happen soon, so it would be a good idea to be ready for it. The sound of the voices began to get clearer, and little blue and purple spots ran across her vision. And then there was something that, if it had made a noise, would have gone whop. It was like the popping you got in your ears after a high broomstick flight. She reappeared in the middle of the Feagles, causing immediate panic. "Stop stealing the funeral meats right now, you wee scuggers!" she shouted. The Feagles stopped and stared at her. Then Rob Anybody said, "Socks wi' feets!" There was one of those moments, you got a lot of them around the Feagles, when the world seems to have got tangled up, and it is so important to unravel the knot before you can go any further. "What are you talking about?" asked Tiffany. "Scuggers," said Rob Anybody. "They're like socks wi' feets in 'em, for keeping your legs warm you can."
"You mean like leg warmers?" said Tiffany.
"Aye, aye, that would be a very good name for them, it being what they do," said Rob. "In point of fact, maybe the term you meant to use was thieving scunners, which means..."
"Us," said Daft Woolly helpfully.
"Oh, yes, thank you," said Tiffany quietly. She folded her arms and then shouted, "Right, you thieving scunners, how dare you steal Miss Treason's funeral meats?"
"Oh, waily, waily, it's the folding o' the arms, the folding o' the arms," cried Daft Woolly, dropping to the ground and trying to cover himself with leaves.
Around him, Feagles started to wail and cower, and Big Jan began to bang his head on the rear wall of the dairy.
"Now then, you must all stay calm,"
yelled Rob Anybody, turning around and waving his hands desperately at his brothers.
"There's the pursing o' the lips," a Feagle shouted, pointing a shaking finger at Tiffany's face. "She's got the knowing o' the pursing o' the lips. 'Tis doom come on us a'."
The Feagles tried to run, but since they were panicking again, they mostly collided with one another. "I'm waiting for an explanation," said Tiffany. The Feagles froze, and every face turned toward Rob Anybody.
"An explanation," he said,
shifting uneasily.
"Why?" "An explanation, nay, problemo. An explanation. What kind would you like?"
"What kind? I just want the truth."
"Aye? Oh, the truth. Are you sure?"
Rob ventured rather nervously.
"I can do much more interesting explanations than that."
"Out with it," snapped Tiffany, tapping her foot.
"Ach, Crivens, the tapping o' the feets has started," moaned Daft Woolly. "There is going to be withering scolding at any moment."
And that was it. Tiffany burst out laughing. You couldn't look at a bunch of frightened knack-mack Feagles and not laugh. They were so bad at it. One sharp word, and they were like a basket of scared puppies, only smellier. Rob Anybody gave her a lopsided grin.
"Weel, all the big hags is doing it too," he said. "The wee fat ones thieved 15 ham rolls," he added admiringly.
"That'd be Nanny Og," said Tiffany. "Yes, she always carries a string bag up her knicker leg."
"Ach, this is no a proper wake," said Rob Anybody. "There should be singing and boozing, and the flexing of the knees, no all this standing around gossiping."
"Well, gossiping's part of witchcraft," said Tiffany. "They're checking to see if they've gone batty yet." "What is the flexing of the knees?"
"The dancing, you ken," said Rob. "The jigs and reels. 'Tis no a good wake unless the hands is flinging, and the feets is twinkling, and the knees is flexing, and the kilts is flying."
Tiffany had never seen the Feagles dance, but she had heard them. It sounded like warfare, which was probably how it ended up. The flying of the kilt sounded a bit worrying, though, and reminded her of a question she'd never quite dared to ask up until now.
"Tell me, is there anything worn under the kilt?"
From the way the Feagles went quiet again, she got the feeling that this was not a question they liked being asked. Rob Anybody narrowed his eyes. The Feagles held their breath.
"Not necessarily," he said.
At last the funeral was over, possibly because there was nothing left to eat and drink. Many of the departing witches were carrying small packages. That was another tradition. A lot of things in the cottage were the property of the cottage, and would pass on to the next witch. But everything else got passed on to the soon-to-be-late witch's friends. Since the old witch would be alive when this happened, it saved squabbling. That was the thing about witches. They were, according to Granny Weatherwax, people what looks up. She didn't explain. She seldom explained. She didn't mean people who looked at the sky. Everyone did that. She probably meant that they looked up above the everyday chores and wondered, what's all this about? How does it work? What should I do? What am I for? and possibly even, is there anything worn under the kilt? Perhaps that was why odd, in a witch, was normal. But they'd squabble like polecats over a silver spoon that wasn't even silver. As it was, several were waiting impatiently by the sink for Tiffany to wash some big dishes that Miss Treason had promised to them, and which had held the funeral roast potatoes and sausage rolls. At least there was no problem with leftovers. Nanny Ogg, a witch who'd invented leftover sandwiches soup, was waiting in the scullery with her big string bag and bigger grin. "We were going to have the rest and potatoes for supper," said Tiffany angrily, but with a certain amount of interest. She'd met Nanny Ogg before and quite liked her, but Miss Treason had said, darkly, that Nanny Ogg was a disgusting old baggage. That sort of comment attracts your attention.
"Fair enough," said Nanny Ogg as Tiffany placed her hand on the meat. "You did a good job here today, Tiff. People noticed that."
She was gone before Tiffany could recover. One of them had very nearly said thank you. Amazing. Petulia helped her bring the big table indoors and finish the tidying up. She hesitated, though, before she left.
You will be all right, will you?" she said. "It's all a bit strange."
"We're supposed to be no strangers to strangeness," said Tiffany primly.
"Anyway, you've sat up with the dead and dying, haven't you?" "Oh, yes. Mostly pigs, though. Some humans."
"I don't mind staying if you like," Petulia added in a leaving-as-soon-as-possible voice.
"Thank you. But after all, what's the worst that can happen?"
Petulia stared at her and then said,
"Well, let me think. 1,000 vampire demons, each one with enormous..."
"I'll be fine," said Tiffany quickly. "Don't you worry at all. Good night." Tiffany shut the door and then leaned on it with her hand over her mouth until she heard the gate click. She counted to 10 to make sure that Petulia had got some distance and then risked taking her hand away. By then, the scream that had been patiently waiting to come out had dwindled to something like, "Unk." This was going to be a very strange night. People died. It was sad, but they did. What did you do next? People expected the local witch to know. So you washed the body and did a few secret and squelchy things, and dressed them in their best clothes, and laid them out with bowls of earth and salt beside them. No one knew why you did this bit, not even Miss Treason, but it had always been done. And you put 2 pennies on their eyes for the ferryman. And you sat with them the night before they were buried, because they shouldn't be left alone. Exactly why was never properly explained, although everyone got told the story of the old man who was slightly less dead than everybody thought and got up off the spare bed in the middle of the night and got back into bed with his wife. The real reason was probably a lot darker than that. The start and finish of things was always dangerous, lives most of all. But Miss Treason was a wicked old witch. Who knew what might happen? "Hang on," Tiffany told herself, "don't you believe the boffo? She's really just a clever old lady with a catalogue." In the other room, Miss Treason's loom stopped. It often did. But this evening, the sudden silence it made was louder than usual. Miss Treason called out,
"What do we have in the larder that needs eating up?"
Yes, this is going to be a very odd night, Tiffany told herself. Miss Treason went to bed early. It was the first time Tiffany had ever known her not to sleep in a chair. She'd put on a long white nightdress, too. The first time Tiffany had seen her not in black. There was a lot still to do. It was traditional that the cottage should be left sparkling clean for the next witch, and although it was hard to make black sparkle, Tiffany did her best. Actually, the cottage was always pretty clean, but Tiffany scraped and scrubbed and polished, because it put off the moment when she'd have to go and talk to Miss Treason. She even took down the fake spiderwebs and threw them on the fire, where they burned with a nasty blue flame. She wasn't sure what to do with the skulls. Finally, she wrote down everything she could remember about the local villages, when babies were due, who was very ill and what with, who was feuding, who was difficult, and just about every other local detail she thought might be helpful to Anagramma. Anything to just put off the moment. At last, there was nothing for it but to climb the narrow stairs and say, "Is everything all right, Miss Treason?" The old woman was sitting up in bed scribbling. The ravens were perched on the bedposts.
"I'm just writing a few thank-you letters," she said. "Some of those ladies today came quite a long way and will be having a chilly ride back."
"Thank you for coming to my funeral letters," asked Tiffany weakly.
"Indeed. And they're not often written, you may be sure of that. You know the girl Anagramma Hawking will be the new witch here. I'm sure she would like you to stay on, at least for a while."
I don't think that would be a good idea, said Tiffany.
Quite, said Miss Treason, smiling. I suspect the girl Weatherwax has arrangements in mind. It'll be interesting to see how Mrs. Earwig's brand of witchcraft suits my silly people, although it may be best to observe events from behind a rock, or in my case, under it.
She put the letters aside, and both the ravens turned to look at Tiffany.
You have been here with me only 3 months.
That's right, Miss Treason.
We have not talked, woman to woman. I should have taught you more.
I've learned a lot, Miss Treason, and that was true.
You have a young man, Tiffany. He sends you letters and packages. You go into Lanka Town every week to send letters to him. I fear you live not where you love.
Tiffany said nothing. They'd been through this before. Roland seemed to fascinate Miss Treason.
I was always too busy to pay attention to young men, said Miss Treason. They were always for later, and then later was too late. Pay attention to your young man.
I did say he's not actually my... Tiffany began, feeling herself start to blush.
But do not become a strumpet like Mrs. Ogg, said Miss Treason.
I'm not very musical, said Tiffany uncertainly. Miss Treason laughed.